This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in his book, surely, verily, Allah will not change the condition of a people or a nation until they change themselves. Now, there are conditions for a change to happen and for Allah to allow that change. You have to have two things. One, that burning desire of wanting change. You want to change, then you must have that. You have to have that. It is must that a person has to desire the change. I mean, it is very, very difficult for a person to change when he sees himself that he doesn't need a change. When he thinks he doesn't need a change, and when he doesn't have that desire of change, then how are you going to change? So al-raghba, the desire of change, must be the first. The second thing, ikhwati fillah, is the effort that we put forth. Inna Allaha, here is a condition, لا يغير, will not change, ما بقومٍ, the condition of the people, until حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم. So, the change has to come from us. I mean, I know a lot of brothers, they wish for change. They don't want to do an effort. They don't want to come out and say, I want to change. I want to take the positive steps. I want to be a changed person. Therefore, I will strive to achieve that goal. But what do we do? We like to blame other people. Oh, this king is not doing this. That queen is not doing that. This governor is not doing this. That person is not doing this. The reason that the conference is successful is because I was there. And the reason the conference is not successful because they did this. Things wrong. So he always likes to shift the responsibility and put it on someone else. Therefore, the change, if they want change, if they want the ummah to change, that the king has to change first. We don't realize that these people are there because of our a'man. Whether they're good or bad, Allah would not appoint a person if we have the right attitude, if we have the right intention, if we are on the right path, that will not happen to the people. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قال, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُ مُغَيِّرًا نِعْمَةً أَنْعَمَهَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. You see, Allah will never remove, will never change a ni'mah that He gave to a people, a bounty that He gave to a certain people, until those people reject that ni'mah. You know, don't think that, listen, the reason that the condition of the ummah is this way is because the Western societies are doing better than us. It is not the case. The case is, we had ni'mah, we have a blessing from Allah, and we turn our backs to that blessing, and we turn our eyes and ears from that, and we say we don't want it. Not so much a statement, but in our actions. So Allah is telling you, I bestow upon you this ni'mah of Islam. I favor you over other nations. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. I mean, you didn't come out and jump into the stage and say, hey, this is us. But Allah gave you that authority. Allah allowed you to do this. But at the same time, what happened? We turn our faces away from the deen, and we said, this deen is no good. Let us find something else. So, at-taghyir, if we really want to change, the change has to come within us. I mean, it has to come from inside. I mean, you can't revive a dead body. You can't move a dead heart. Now, ikhwati fiddlah. Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu, when the kings or when the Muslims were attacking or put a siege on Masjid al-Aqsa in Palestine, you know what the kuffar, what they said? They said, we will not give the keys of Masjid al-Aqsa except to a man that we have his description in our books. And none of you. And he's talking to the Sahaba, he's talking to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, he's talking to Amr ibn As, they're talking to Abu Ubaid ibn Jarrah, they're talking these individuals and say, none of you fits that description. Therefore the keys of the Masjid al-Aqsa would not be yours. So the Sahaba, they thought to themselves and they said, wallahi, the only one who can fit this description can only be Umar ibn Khattab. So they send to the Amir al-Mu'mineen from the city of Medina, the city of the Prophet, and they said, listen, we have a situation, you better come and deal with it. And he said to his servant, let's go. We have a job to take care of it. We have work to do. But Umar ibn Khattab, radiyallahu anhu, was a just ruler, was a man who was concerned about every step that he takes. It was a man who would count his statements and then filter them later on and then say, what did I mean by this? Was it for Allah or for someone else? And then the man, when he realized he has to travel and take his servant and he has nothing, there was no entourage, there was no people to escort Amir al-Mu'mineen, he had nothing but a camel to travel with and a servant. So he said to his servant, you will ride the camel, I will jog the camel, I'll recite a portion of the Qur'an. When I finish that, you get off the camel, I'll be on the camel, and then you'll recite the same amount of Qur'an, and then after that, both of us will walk, and we allow the camel to rest. Because Allah would ask us about the camel. At the end, they arrived to the city, Masjid al-Aqsa al-Quds. And Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu has 17 different patches on his thobe, and he has his dhurra, his stick that he used to cure the diseases of the individuals, and he is dragging the camel, and the servant is riding the camel, and then he says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, qad wasalna, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, we're here, let me get down from the camel, so the people will see you, and let me drag the camel. And he looked at him and said, Alisat uqubatuk? Isn't your turn? Qala na'am, bala. He said, it won't be yours. I will not ride the camel. So, the people from the church, the Christian, and the armies, Shirahbil, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, Amr ibn As, Abu Ubaid ibn Jarrah, and Khalid. I mean, you're talking about heavyweight champions. You're not talking about this guy and that guy. We're talking about a people in a high caliber. And they all got together. And subhanallah. قَالُوا يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَهَكَذَا is this is the way that you're going to receive the keys of the Masjid al-Aqsa. يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ put something better on. And then he made a statement and he said, وَاللَّهِ to Abu Ubaidah, لَوْ غَيْرَكَ قَالَهَا لَأَوْجَعْتَ if anyone other than you said that statement, I would hurt him. نحن قوم أعزنا الله الإسلام. We are people who are honored because of Islam. فمهما ابتغينا العزة في غير الإسلام وفي غيره أذلنا الله. And if we seek honor and self-respect in any other way, in any other fashion, in any other methods, then Allah will disgrace us. And then the people from the church, when they saw Umar ibn Khattab wearing this simple thobe, and his thobe was so short after half of his cap, and then he's dragging the camel, and they say, wallahi, this is the man that we have his description in our book. قُلْ لِلْمُلُوكِ تَنَحَوْ عَنْ مَنَاصِبِكُمْ فَقَدْ أَتَى آخِذَ الدُّنْيَا وَمُعْطِيَا. Yes. Now, Umar ibn Khattab is laying down the foundation of that. He's telling us the only thing that you need to be concerned is about Islam. Now, ikhwati fillah, what do we do to change ourselves? The first thing that we need to do, I mean, I'm not talking to your neighbor, I'm talking to you. And I'm talking to myself, because my ear is closer to my mouth than yours. I'm talking to us. Don't think the brother's talking to my neighbor, or the brother's talking to the sister sitting next to me. I'm not talking to anyone other than you. The first thing that we need to make is, we need to acknowledge there must be a change. The change has to take place. The acknowledgement of that is the first step. If we keep denying the illness, there is no cure to it. And this is important, and it comes under the muhasaba. Well, let me look into myself before I ask why the imam is doing this, why the sheikh is doing this, why the king and the queens, or the president and the governor are doing this. What about myself? So if you look into yourself, and you do make the change. There was this young man, and I'm telling you this story because most of you are young. This man, by the name Ali bin Ma'mun, Ali bin Ma'mun. I'll give you an introduction of this young man. His father was a king. His grandfather was a king. His great grandfather was a king. So he was from a ruling family. From the day that he opened his eyes, he had, as they say, he had a golden spoon in his mouth. I mean, he did not go through any hardship. He didn't have to work for anything. Everything that he asked for was his. This young man, Ali, sitting in his palace. And the palace, this is from Dawla al-Abbasiyya, of Al-Abbas, was so unique. You know, we paint our houses, our palaces, with a normal paint. But for them, sometimes they used to paint with gold and silver. And when the sun rises, the people will have to say, wow, what is happening? The sun has risen from the west. When the sun hits the color of that palace, the people will say, subhanallah, what a beautiful building. This young man, rahimahullah, used to come and sit in the balcony and sit and watch the people right next to the river. You know, it was a beautiful scenery. It's beautiful. I mean, nowadays you cannot purchase that land. You cannot even think about it. And then he sits here, and at the same time he looks, you know, and he's looking at the people in the marketplace. And one day, he noticed something different. He noticed that there's a hamal here, a carrier. What he does, the hamal, the job of the hamal, if you're not familiar with, what he does is, you buy something from the store, and you don't want to carry this around. So what do? You pay someone to carry these things to your house. Imagine you go to Norfolk and you do your shopping, and you don't want to carry this bag, shopping bag. And what do? You call a hammam. Nowadays you call a cab. You know, you call a taxi to take you there. This is his job. At that time it was the lowest level or the lowest job a person can ask for. But he noticed this hammam. He's unique. He's not a normal person. Early in the morning, he's there, he's working left and right, he's trying to serve the people, he's trying to do his best, and then the time of Salat al-Duha comes, and he drops everything, and he goes to Dajla, to the river, and he makes a wudu over there, and he prays 2 rak'ah of Salat al-Duha, and he concentrates on his Salah, because his heart is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his work is not his master, but his master is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He worships Allah with sincerity, so what he does, he goes there and performs and he makes dua and he comes back to his job. Every single day, he does the same thing. Every single day. And then he comes back, he walks up to Salat al-Dhuhr. And then after Salat al-Dhuhr, he makes wudu and he goes to the masjid and he finishes Salat al-Dhuhr. And then he goes to the marketplace and he buys this dry bread and he goes back to the river once again. And he dip that bread into the river and he makes it wet and he eats that symbol bread. And then he lies down there, takes nap, and then after the nap he comes back and he starts working again up to Salat al-Maghrib. The routine of that individual is unchangeable. He doesn't change. So this Amir, Ali ibn Ma'mun, sitting from above, looking at the condition of this person, he say, let me ask myself, is that man happy or not? So he decided to interview this young man. He called him and he sent him and said, call that young man. So the Rasul of the Amir, he went there. قَالَ الْأَمِيرُ يَطْلُبُكُ. You know, soldier, the Amir is asking for you. قَالَ مَالِي وَلِي أَمِيرُ. He said, what do you have to do with the Amir? I don't want to see him. You know. قَالَ وَيْحَكَ يَا رَجُلُ. Woe to you, man. The Amir is asking you to come to his house, to his palace, and you reject the invitation. قَالَ لَا حَاجَةِ لِي. I don't have a need for the Amir. He said, you must come. He came to the palace. And he stood in front of the Amir. قَالَ مَا عَمَلُكَ. The Amir said, what is your job? قَالَ حَمَّا. The Amir said, أَأَنْتَ سَعِيد? Are you happy? He said, Alhamdulillah. I'm the happiest person. He said to him, why don't you come in? Live with me, and I'll take care of you. قَالَ لَا يَا أَمِيرُ. I don't want it. He said, is there anyone who will reject such an offer? He said, yes. He said, why would you reject my invitation? He said, because if I live with you, my heart would turn into a stone, into a rock, and my connection with Allah will never be the same. And the Amir said, You reject living in this beautiful palace, and you rather do that? قَالَ نَعْمْ. He said, tell me your schedule. He said, my schedule is what you saw, except at the Salat al-Maghrib, I go to my house, I buy food for my wife and my sister, my wife who is blind, and my sister who cannot walk, and I buy food for iftar for them, and then I go home, and this is the ultimate joy. So the Amir said at the end of the day, do you need anything? He said, yes. And the Amir now, he thinks he can serve this man, and he said, what do you need? He said, leave me alone. Leave me alone. I mean, I don't want your war. Just, you know, leave me. Leave me be who I am. I am so happy being a simple person. Allow me to live my life. And he let him go. And the Amir, when the Hammal left, he went back into himself, and this is the point. And he said, is there a space for correction? Can I correct myself? You know, do I need to correct myself? And he came to the conclusion that if I want to be a servant of Allah, I should not live the life that I'm living. So he stepped down from his palace, and he wrote a letter to his father. And he said, Father, I am in a better place. Do not look for me. And he left the palace, and he moved away from the city, and he started working as a hammal, exactly like that person, living simple life like that man. And then he, at the time of his death, he came to the man that he used to work for, and he said, listen to the man he used to live with. He said, I am the son of Al-Ma'mun. I am the son of the Amir Al-Mu'mineen. Qala, this is the biggest lie that I ever heard. He said, no, take this ring and tell my father, I indeed found happiness. I found happiness. So if we don't think that there's a space for change, we will never change. The second thing that we need to do, ya ikhwati fillah, if we want to change, is to make a goal for ourselves. Tahdid al-hadaf. You want to change. What do you want to be? Change to what? How much are you want to achieve? You know, what do you want to do? You have to examine yourself and then say, well, this is where I am right now. Inshallah, next year, I want to be at that point. So you set that goal for yourself. Setting a goal is the most important thing. And for example, you have a sister, mashallah, you are struggling with your hijab, and you have a little stingy hijab. You show your ears, mashallah, and then you will say, well, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but inshallah, by the end of the year, I want to have full hijab. And then you say, okay, now I have full hijab, but I'm still wearing a tight jeans and tight clothes. So inshallah, my goal is, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I need to get there inshallah soon. So next year by this time, I want to wear jilbab. Yes. But again, these two points are important. One, you have to acknowledge there's a problem. I mean, if the sister wearing hijab, we call it stingy hijab, or we call convertible khimar. You know, they always push back, and they show you know, that they have nice hair, mashallah. And every time someone reads the Quran, they put it back, and then there's no Quran, they pull it off. Now, it's funny, wallahi, some of the sisters, it's funny. And I'm not getting on their case, but it's funny. I was a sister, I said, sister, you know, she had a nice, she's wearing, you know, earrings, and she wants to show up. So how does she wear the hijab? She put it all around her ears. And so we can see, and I said, sister, you know, I think you should cover your ears. And she said, what ear? I said, sister, you know, alhamdulillah, but don't you feel there's a cold breeze hitting your ear? I mean, you can't feel that? I know the earrings are nice, but you gotta cover them. You know, you cannot display your beauty like this. If you want to change, they make a goal. They say, okay, this is what I want to be. Brothers, mashallah, some of them are still struggling with their beard. And they have the same excuse every time. Oh, Brother Saeed, you know, I know it's farq. I was keeping that. But I asked the barber just to trim it a little bit from it, and everything was gone. Oh, man, next time I won't do it. It is the same old excuse every single time. And then you see the informants, what happened? Man, the same guy just made the same mistake. I said, mashallah. And I don't think so, it's the scissor or the, it is you who have a problem. And then they have this little tiny, tiny line that they made, and you think you need a microscope, and you say, brothers, you know, you talk about, say, let us have the sunnah, practice the sunnah, and they say, brothers, like this? And say, brother, what are you talking about? This is not a beard, you know, it's like a line of a kuhn, that you put a little kuhn. And you don't understand, one of the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah, that men will shave their beard, they will trim it so light like that. You see the little bag, the little line on the back of a pigeon? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's how they're going to do. And this is the sign of Yawm al-Qiyamah. So if you want to achieve that, you go and say, Alhamdulillah, I'm going to pass that. This is not me. So we must learn how to do this. You and I, we want to know what we want. And then from that point, we say, that is the goal. That is the end of the tunnel. I can see the light from here. I can achieve that. And you always focus on that. And regardless what happens, you always concentrate on your goal. And you say, my goal is to do this. My goal is to memorize the 10 juz at the end of the year. I'm going to do this. Wallah, you can do that. Because I know a brother who used to memorize 6 pages of Quran per day. Why? Because he had a goal that he has to memorize the Quran by the end of the year. The third thing that we also need is to learn how to. Now you acknowledge the issue, the problem. You set the goal. How are you going to get there? How are you going to get there? I mean, some of the brothers, mashallah, what do? They buy CDs and they lay down in the bed and say, well, brothers, don't bother me, I'm seeking knowledge. You just want to smack those brothers, really, you know. If my father, you know, if my mother was still alive, rahimahullah, she would say, give me the shifshi, give me the shoe. I'll show him how to seek knowledge, you know. She give me the shoe, wallah. You know, you're lying down and you want to become a student of knowledge? I mean, you're relaxing and you want to become a student, not simply because you listen to a CD or a tape? No. How do you want to do it? Do you want to go to Islamic University? Do you want to sit under a teacher? Do you want to study online? You know, what book to start with? You know, what books to avoid? What is the first subject that you should study for first? I mean, how to get there is the problem. A lot of young people, mashallah, he said, Brother Saeed, I'm determined, I'm going to do this, inshallah. I say, Allahu Akbar, how are you going to do it? He said, I don't know yet. I say, you have no clue, how are you going to do it? He said, no. No, I was hoping that Allah will bless me way out. I said, that is not how Allah works. And Allah, that is so easy for Allah to do this. But the sunnah to Allah is, you come up with the plan, you do the effort, and Allah will guide you. I mean, Rasulullah didn't say, I'm going to make hijrah of the city of Mecca, therefore I'm just going to walk through the mushrikeen and say, listen, I'm making hijrah, see you later in the city of Medina. No! What did he do? He said, Ya Abu Bakr, get the camels ready. Ya Abu Bakr, get someone to show us the way. We're going to hide. Ya Ali, come and sleep on my bed. You know, there was a plan. There was no tawakkul. There was a tawakkul ala Allah. There was a plan to do. How are you going to do? And yet, he was giving the glad tidings that his people would be in the city of Medina and he will complete his deen going there. Yet, he had to show the ummah that you got to do the actual work, and Allah will help you. I mean, what would you do if the brother sits there and says, I'm looking for a wife. You say, mashallah. What are you doing about that? He said, I don't know, I'm going to Salat al-Fajr. I said, do you see sister in the masjid, Salat al-Fajr? He said, there's no sister. I said, how is that going to help you? You know, you have to have a way out. You got a plan. You got a plan. You just don't sit on the middle of the road and say, you know, I want my check to come here, khalas. You know, you don't. Tayyib. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. This little kid. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he grabbed a friend and said, listen, let's go. Let's go and study. And he said, how are you going to study? He said, we got to learn from the Sahaba who are still alive. He said, subhanAllah, who would listen to you when you have the rest of the Sahaba? Who would listen to you? He did not care what that young man said, or that little boy. But he took the steps and he used to sit in front of the Sahabi that he wants to learn from. In front of his house. Imagine in the middle of the desert, you're talking about the city of Medina. It's so hot, subhanAllah. If you leave something outside, that is plastic, it will melt. As a matter of fact, if you leave a glass, it will melt. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, in the middle of the day, he will go to the house of a Sahabi, and he will sit outside, and the dust is hitting his face, and the wind is dragging all this dust, and he will be sitting until that Sahabi comes out of his house willingly. And when a Sahabi sees this little boy sitting in front of his house, it's covered with the dust and the turab, and it's so hot, and he says, SubhanAllah, Ibn Ammar Rasulullah, the cousin of the Prophet in front of my house, you should have asked me, I will come to your house, Ya Abdullah ibn Abbas. Qala la, I should come to knowledge. I should come to ilm. I should come to ilm. And he learned. He learned how to do it. Until that one day that man, that little kid, who said, oh, will listen to you. He came to a masjid, and the people are standing up because there's no place to sit. And he said, man hada? And they said, this is a sheikh. And he looked and he said, SubhanAllah, that is Abdullah ibn Abbas. That is the young man that made fun of him. Had I listened to him, I would be in his state today. So we have to know how to do this, ya ikhwati fillah. The other thing, ya ikhwati fillah, or the fourth thing is patience and determination. You have to be determined. You have to. If you want to learn this deen, for example, you know, you should be determined. You should be focused. You should know that you want to learn this deen regardless what the price is. Wallahi, I'm not exaggerating. When we went to sit under the ulama after school, we used to chase the ulama. SubhanAllah, I remember some of the shuyukh would not give me a face for months. Why? Because the sheikh wants to see, are you deserving to this knowledge? Are you a person who deserves to carry this knowledge? Wallahi, we used to sit, we go to his halaqa, we travel with him, wherever he goes, and he would not talk to us. And sheikh, what is the fatwa? And he will not give us the fatwa, but not because he wants to hide ilm, but he wants to teach us how to be serious students. Now, if you're not determined, you say, man, this man is arrogant. He's concealing ilm. He's hiding knowledge. I don't want to learn from such a person. You know? And nowadays, we have the ulama traveling to us, coming to us, teaching us, and we don't learn. We're not going to come to 11 o'clock because, man, it's too early. Yeah, but if we have a basketball game, what time are you going to wake up? You're going to pray Fajr that you never prayed before. Wallah, you're going to come say, come at the masjid, this is 5 o'clock, we're going to leave 5:30. Everybody's at the masjid, mashallah. Why? For basketball. But for ilm? No. So you have to be very, very serious if you want to learn ilm. Like a simple thing, train yourself. You know the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you pray 40 days, if you pray Salat al-Jama'ah for 40 days, you don't miss Takbirat al-Ihram, and you don't waste your time when the Takbirat al-Ihram took place. If you do this for 40 days, all 5 daily prayers, you pray in congregation, in a place that the Jama'ah has been held, not in your, don't say, oh, mashallah, my wife and my 3 daughters, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. No, that is not how it works. We're talking about you come to the masjid for 40 days. And your plan is, if I achieve this, then I have 2 things to be rewarded with. Number one, Allah said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fi sunan tirmidhi sahih al-Albani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take my name out of the list of the munafiqeen, and I will never be munafiq. The second reward that I will get is, I will be saved from the punishment of the grave. 2 great rewards. Now, how many of you can do this? 40 days. Make sure you don't miss Takbirat al-Ihram for 40 days. Now, if you can't make it, if you can't do 40 days for Salah, you know, do you think you're gonna last going on for 6-7 years seeking ilm? And some of the people, they don't understand this. And this is what you need to do. You start with the little things and go from there. Now, the second thing is, you need to understand, if you are patient with ilm, you will see the reward of that. Because if you give yourself to ilm, ilm will give you some back. But if you don't give yourself to ilm, ilm will not give you anything. And you need to have the taqwa, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ اللَّهُ. And have the taqwa of Allah, the fear of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach you. The fifth thing is, do not be negative. Always positive. You gotta be positive. And stay away from those who are negative. You know, you have to see it differently. I don't know how many of you ever watch or participate in a marathon. See, when everybody at the beginning, everybody wants to run, right? I mean, everybody is running with full speed, full energy. But at the end, how many people make it to the end? Not too many. You would have so many young people maybe today. Brothers and sisters, all of them want to do the same thing. They want to go full speed. They want to achieve what they want to achieve. But listen. Listen. How many people are going to make? Maybe out of the people here, one or two or three. Because this is a long journey. But you got to focus. You know, this is the, again, you got to see at the end of the tunnel. You say, subhanAllah, that is the light. I'm going for that. And you avoid those people who will hinder you, who will slow you down. If you just focus, imagine, and I'm using a wild imagination here. Just imagine this. Imagine you have the audience and all of them cheering up for you. And mashallah, you are full speed and you see the people. And these are the believers. Consider those people cheering for you are the mu'mineen. They all say, keep going, go, go, go. And you're there and you have the motivation and you have the strength. And every time you slow down, you see another group saying, keep going, do not stop. These are the believers. And you have between at the end of the line, and you have individuals who's calling you, Ya Abdullah, Ya Umar, Ya Sa'id, keep going. And you think, subhanAllah, that could be Musa, that could be Harun, that could be Saleh, that could be Ibrahim. And these are the prophets of Allah, and they already made it. I have to go there. They already established, they already done. It is my turn now. I mean, you're focused. You're running as hard as you can. And these people are giving you the energy that you need. Because they help, they want to help you. You know. But you have to learn. You have to learn how to lose weight. And I'm not talking about this weight. I'm talking about weight in a sense that anyone who slows you down, cut him loose. You know. It could be your child. It could be your wife. It could be your son. It could be your brother. It could be someone that is close to you. It could be a negative friend. You know, you have to get them loose. You cut them loose. Concentrate. You know, don't entertain these individuals. Don't be concerned about them. Concentrate on the goal. You keep going. And remember, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq already made it. Umar ibn al-Khattab is already sitting there. The Sahaba all ahead of us, we gotta catch up with them. So these people, when they slow you down, you gotta get rid of them. You gotta say, subhanAllah, you know, I have no time for you. You gotta say, ya akhi, sleep. Say, no, I have no time for you. I was listening to one of the ulama, and he said, this young man, he got married, and his wife, first night, after the adhan, I'm sorry, but at the time of Qiyam al-Layl, the brother who used to pray Qiyam al-Layl, at the time of Qiyam al-Layl, she said, this is your wedding night. Sleep, you know, a little bit, relax. So he relaxed. And he missed the Qiyam al-Layl for the first time. And this is his first night with his wife. And then just before Salat al-Fajr, when the adhan was called, she said, it is your wedding day. Just pray at home today. قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أعوذ بالله. He ran and he ran out of the house. When he ran out of the house, he went to the masjid and he came back and he said, listen to me. قَالَ لَا خَيْرٌ فِي إِمْرَأَةٍ. There is no good in a wife who will hinder me from the way of Allah. Whether you change your attitude or out of my house, out of my life. From that day, that young lady, she used to wake up her husband for Qiyam al-Layl. You gotta teach a lesson in the hard way sometimes. They have to learn. So what you do is, you have to understand, if you cannot change these people, and this is another mistake that we make, especially the young brothers. Here, alhamdulillah, Allah guides him to Islam, he comes to the masjid, and he thinks that his iman is so high, he wants to go back and bring up those people, and then he makes a mistake. And this is the last point, he makes a mistake. Why these people would slow you down? No. You gotta learn how to concentrate. You gotta learn how to get rid of these people. And if you're not ready, then hit the brake. You know. Let these people learn and know that you're determined and you really want to do the right thing. And this is the last point, ikhwati fillah, or the one before last point. If you are that person, when you achieve what you want to achieve, when you get to where you want to go, now come back to the bottom of the society or your friends and pick them up. Pick them up. You know, let them learn. You're strong now. You can carry the weight. Not like earlier. Now, you know, you've been working out, bro. You know, you've been doing your homework. Now your iman is strong, you're physically able to do this, and you bring them back to where they belong. Now, ikhwati fillah, when you do this and you are that changed individual, imagine if everyone sitting next to you have the same attitude and they do the same change. Let us say we have 20 of you today. They take this point and say, I'm going to apply this. And don't be like the rest of the Muslims. Rest of the Muslims, end to them is like a jacket or a shirt. They listen. When they get up, what they do? They leave there. They leave the ilm right on the chair that they were sitting on. No. Take this with you. Go with it. And see how can you change your community. If four of you, five of you from the same masjid, and you apply this, and you work on it, and you do your Quran daily, and you recite your portion of the Quran daily, and you do your sunnah, and you learn your ilm, imagine a year or two, how many people you can change. How many people? You know, I don't know, there was a little brother, a Jamaican brother, who in the city of Toronto, who subhanAllah, you know, he used to sell drugs and things like this. And what did he do? Alhamdulillah, Allah guided him. And then what did he do? He went back to those people who used to sell drugs to them, and he brought them to Islam. You know. And you see this little man, this little young man, who has not much knowledge, he is doing so much work. Why? Because he, with his limited capacity, was able to do things. Now, if you are the changed person, then the condition of the ummah will change. Remember the story of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu. He only ruled 2 years and few months. 6, 5, 4, 7 months. With a base of the, according to a different narration. But you know how much change that he made? He started with himself. And he changed his lifestyle. And then he changed the people. Yes, you're not the Amir al-Mu'mineen. You may not have the authority of changing anyone, everyone, but you can make the change. In the city of Calgary, we have a brother. One single brother. Allah guided him to Islam. Now all his family are Muslims. We have a single brother in my masjid, who Allah guided into Islam, and he's working with the rest of his family. And every day you have a new person coming to the masjid. Now, if you are a changed person, then everyone else around you would change. But you have to remember, you could be a branch from a dead tree, a live branch from a dead tree. And that could be your family, that could be your community. And the only branch that is alive is you. And it is your responsibility to revive the whole tree. Imagine. And sometimes you see the other way around. You see a beautiful tree, a family of iman, and they have that little kid, that branch who's dead, who has no deen, no faith. But you want to work the other way around. If you are from that beautiful tree, and everyone is green, and every single branch of the tree is green, then what you need to do is work on the people around you. And if the tree is dead, then revive it. Work on the people. So Umar ibn Abdul Awwal suggests all of you to read the biography of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiyallahu anhu. Last, ya ikhwati fillah, which is the last point. You can only do this, and I say this three times by the way, you can only do this if you ask Allah to help you. You must seek the help of Allah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِسْتِعَانَ from Allah. وَيَقُولُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي حَدِيثِ عبد الله بن عباس وإذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. Ask Allah alone in the middle of the night with sincerity. Get up, stand up for قيام الليل. Ya Allah, guide my friend. Ya Allah, guide my parents. Ya Allah, guide my wife. Ya Allah, she's been watching too much movies. She's been costing me a lot. Ya Allah, save me some money and make her stop watching this stupidity. Work on that. Ista'in billah. And don't give up. Don't say, well, hey, I can do this by myself. Ista'in billah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. Allah will help. And wallahi, if you put your trust in Allah, Allah will never disappoint you. So, ikhwati fillah, wallahi thumma wallahi, what Allah said in His book is true. And Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. That Allah will not change the condition of the people unless the people change their condition. Therefore, let us recap what we said. The 7 points that we mentioned, number one, is that you have to acknowledge that the change must take place. The second, you have to have a goal. You have to have your goal must be fixed. Number three, you have to have a plan how to get to that goal. And number four, you have to be determined and persistent. Number five, you gotta be away from the negativity and stay with those people who are positive, will always encourage you to do good things. And number six is Allah, so after you achieve what you want to do, then yes, after the achievement, you may return and help those who are in need. And number seven, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you in your journey. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.